Welcome to Howzy, the Steel Army Podcast. I'm Dan Yost, and on this 29th of February, a leap day, if you will, we're going to talk some hounds. But not too much, just a little bit. Devin's here with me. Devin, what are your thoughts on leap day?
You know, I was going to ask you if you did any leap day activities today. Like, I feel like for something that only happens once every 4 years, it's not talked about very much.
You know what? You just led me where I was going to take this. I feel for once every 4 days or 4 years, it should be a holiday. It should be a party day.
I agree. I don't know what you do with it, but
I mean,
you should do something.
Much like St. Patrick's Day is basically a drinking holiday, I feel Leap Day should be a party forward type of holiday, and we don't do that nearly enough.
Agreed.
So what I'm proposing, as I think about this now, is Leap Day 2028, the Houndsy podcast / Steel Army, we're just going to turn it into a we're going to force the issue. I'm checking now
on the calendar.
Checking now what day of the week February 29th, 2020 falls on.
5 days past today.
Are you sure that's how it works?
No. But that's what I'm guessing.
Right? It's
so
a Tuesday.
Wednesday.
It's a Tuesday. So it is 5 days past, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say that.
Sometimes I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, Ariana's here, too.
Yeah.
Say hi to the people.
Hello.
What are your hot takes on Leap Day?
I think it should be, like, a purge-esque day. Like, it doesn't... like
That is not a party
like
at all.
It shouldn't... Well, yeah, the opposite. Well, I love the purge, the concept of the purge. I just think that people who go straight to murder are... criminals in their day-to-day life and just should be put in jail. If the purge were real for me, unrelated, but if they were to give us a purge day and it was the leap day, to be 100% honest, I'm stealing a car or like robbing a bank. I'm not going to murder someone. I would rather boost my wealth, my personal wealth.
Yeah, but you got to protect your own shit at the same time, though.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. But, like, that's what I my first thought is, like, I'm gonna go steal myself a G-Wagon, and then I'm gonna sell it after the purge, and then I'll just make money.
I really don't
that.
Think you've thought this through too well.
Murder is not the first jump that anyone should go to.
You're just saying for the Grand Theft Auto.
I mean, yeah. Rob a bank. But, like, murder? That's such an extreme. That's the only thing that's ever bothered me about the Purge
this,
movies.
This
is
a hell of an opening 4 minutes we've got to get on this.
Yeah. Week. So, yeah, I think that because it's not a real day, 3 years out of the four, it shouldn't be a real day. So things should be forgiven. Like just... We should live in like a twilight zone on February 29th.
I asked you for your hot take on February 29th, and you have not disappointed.
It's not murder, but everything
along
else.
Those lines. What if everyone got one free punch a year?
Mm.
But you didn't know if someone ever used theirs. So, like, would things be better off not if you didn't know who did or did not still have their free punch?
I feel
sports
like it would
be a lot more interesting at that point.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that in the context of sporting events.
I think
although some sports wouldn't
nicer.
Change, like hockey, would be pretty much the same. So,
all right.
But do you save it? Like, I feel like the December's coming, and I would be like, all right, I need to use
it. I would absolutely save it. I mean, yeah, I might use it at some point in the year.
I'd hunt down whoever pissed me off.
I'm sure over half the population would have theirs burned before they got to February, for sure. Much like horn honking, I feel they should set up cars where you get 5 seconds of honks in a week. You do not need to use your horn more than 5 seconds in any week. And there'd be some people that they would burn that out on their Monday morning drive to work. And other people would never use that, you know, because they never touched a horn. But like that, I think half the population would, they would use their punch in the first month. So I think there'd be like an anti, like a reverse bell curve of when punches get used. Like real high January, February dips through the summer months. And then as people, you know, use it or lose it, get them, get their punch in during the festive holiday season.
I'm going to hunt someone down for Christmas. Just sock them right in the nose.
Or you do some amazing thing where you, right before the stroke of midnight, you use one punch, then immediately use your second punch for the new year.
That would be a complex. If someone real pissed me off, that's for sure. Yeah, like a two punch.
Sure, takes a violent turn when we don't have as much Hounds news to discuss.
Oh, this is gonna be a tidy show under an hour for sure. 7 minutes on the Purge and punching people. Only on leap day, people. Only on leap day. Last Saturday we met. Annually, ooh. Generally speaking. Ariana, anything of note happen at that meeting?
No. Nothing new.
All right, let's move on from that then.
Yeah, no.
No.
People got to see the scarves for the first time in person, which was fun.
Yes.
The membership packages.
I think the bags came out better than I thought they would.
Oh yeah, they're nice. I'm excited.
I had some reservations about what they were gonna be like, but they turned out well.
Yeah, when we were packing them, I noticed that. I mean, some of them printed funny, but like we didn't pack those. But I'm surprised at how well they turned out for how like easily, you know, like well priced they were. I was definitely worried about that, but. My mom is excited. She started using it to work. She brings like her lunch in it now.
I immediately took it out of my car, put it somewhere like in a space where I keep things where I don't need a bag there. And then, of course, the next day I went to a store and went, oh, I could have used that bag that I needlessly took out of my car the day before.
It's a perfect Pittsburgh bag because we can't use plastic in Pittsburgh anymore.
It's almost like a reason why we did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Southside gym bags being replaced by the Steel Army gym bag.
Also, the other podcast lost having the president on the show. This one picked it up though.
Hell yeah. That's me.
El Presidente, your acceptance speech, if you will.
I'd like to thank my cats. For really holding me through this tough time. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the season. I'm looking forward to breaking membership records. We've already broken one, and I will proudly say it was in my tenure while I wasn't president until Saturday. But we have more members. We had more members before the AGM than we've ever had before. We went over 100,
which was clear, which is by definition not your administration.
Actually, by definition, not my administration. But since I was voted in December, I'm counting it as mine. I think it's really the amazing membership package we put together. The scarf is awesome. We used the Fort Highmark design we had from the epic win versus Columbus Crew at home last year. and we're just here to defend the fort and the bags. So I'm really excited. And then another new change, which I wanted to mention, was the numbers, because if we're not going to get, maybe everyone didn't read their emails. So we got to reiterate. I'm reiterating.
If you're listening to this on March 1st, pay attention. If you're listening to this after March 1st, you might be fucked.
Well, yeah.
Go on.
If you are a season ticket holder and a member, and you get the member discount for your season ticket holders, go find your number either on your card or in your email. We sent everyone out. If you didn't get it in your email, tell us. We'll give it to you. And give that number to the team, or you're going to be charged the difference between regular priced and the season for season tickets and the Steel Army price, which I think we came out to find is a difference of like $50.
51? 50, 51?
Yeah, something around there. So
not it's definitely insignificant.
Worth it. Yeah. And, you know, it's a $26 membership, so.
25 if you're a good person who pays by cash.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, get that number to the team. They should email you back confirmation. If they don't, you can always, like, CC the Steel Army so we can at least back you up on it. Be like, no, look, we saw they emailed before. If you don't email by Friday, they will invoice you and charge you with the card on file on Monday for the difference. So if you're okay paying the difference, then good on you. If you're not, then get that number in. So I do know that someone did mention that they told them they were a season or a Steel Army member, and they did not have that price for the season tickets, and they were given a $50 credit to their account. So if you've already paid for your season ticket holder, your season tickets, and you want to become a member, there is that possibility as well. So yeah, get those numbers in there.
$25 membership, $50 savings off tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Eh.
And
might be worth it.
Lock it in. Yeah. If you can, lock in that price for 2 years. Because I have, you know, you have to feel like it's only going to go up. So it's $50 this year, and then it's going to be, even if it's just $60 next year, that's pretty great. So
I think the other thing of note from the AGM, at least for me, is that we are pretty well committed to an away trip.
Yeah. I'm excited. It's going to happen. With you and I in charge, it's going to happen. What he failed to mention as well, I became president, but we also have the vice president on Houndsy. Dan Yost became the vice president. So we've got, you know,
that the just first means people that, of all that means is I'm one heartbeat away from running the show, which should scare everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, with us in charge, I have a feeling I'm going to make it happen. It's going to be Loudon this year. October, not going to have the date off the top of my head, but it's towards the end of October, 20 something, maybe. It's in there somewhere. So write it down now. Figure out what the date is and then write it down. Don't just circle a random weekend in October. Yeah. Bus trip, maybe not. We're looking at other avenues, cheaper avenues. Save our folks some money.
October 19th.
Let's go. That's it. Let's go and be louder than Loudon, and more united than Loudon, and have more Steel Army members than Loudon. What are they called? They call themselves the Stampede.
Something like that.
Make it so that we're more than the Stampede. Yeah.
Which is not hard to do.
I believe we've done
not
that.
Not hard to do.
Even five people piled into an SUV has made that happen.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and then be like Jesse and try to fight the Academy kids out there.
Yeah, be on TV. We were pretty heavily on TV last year, vocally. But we had like a youth... some youth players sitting behind us, which was fun. Younger voices, Carrie. More high pitched.
Because Loudon also has that guy that is somehow right by the field microphone who bitches about everything. Bitches about everything and is right about his bitching maybe 30% of the time. It's a highlight of watching Loudon games, if I may say.
Well, you don't have to watch it this time. Now we're going to be there, so. Yeah. Record it.
You know, let's see if we get that guy to do a Hounsie intro for us. Okay. So after the AGM, the Hounds, the Beloved, faced off against the University of Pittsburgh men's soccer team in a preseason friendly, an exhibition, if you will. Final score, if you care about those things, Hounds 2, Panthers 0. Devin, we'll kick off with you. What were you looking? What did you want to see in this preseason game? What caught your eye? What do you think are the important takeaways?
So it's preseason, so you know, you have to keep your expectations low. I mean, we're testing out different formations, testing out different players and spots they may not normally be in. But the formation, from what I saw, was largely the same as last year. The five at the back, holding defensive mid, and then the two center mids and two strikers up top. So, like, I thought that was good, keeping some continuity. But to start off, it seemed like Pitt was really doing well, getting the ball behind in behind the defense. Like passing it into space and like really beating our defensive line back there. So that was a bit concerning. There wasn't like a lot of press up top, which was a little concerning. So like, again, it's preseason, but I would expect a little bit more. You're going up against a college team. It looked a lot better in the second half. We got some new forwards out there, which we'll talk about the one here in a little bit, but, I thought there was a lot better of a press, and the ball started going in. But I don't want to take up all the talk here, so I'll let somebody else take over.
Well, I always am probably overly concerned about what the back line looks like and who's where. So let's go over what it was.
Yeah.
The left back, the always big concern to me, who's your left back? It was Junior Eto on the day. Danny was on the right side, and then your three along the center were Ilau. We're definitely going to say it was Danny Griffin as like the central center back.
It definitely was the whole game. Well, not the whole game.
And then Hogan, goal scorer Hogan, by the way. So that was your back line. The thing that really stuck out to me is how much freedom the outside backs, especially Rovi on the right hand side, how much freedom they were being given to get up. I mean, Rovi was your right back and was also swinging in crosses from damn near the opposing goal line. I mean, he was getting all the way up and down. Which was enjoyable. And then you would watch, I noticed it better, maybe that's where we're standing, when Junior as the left back, you know, got pretty high up on his channel, shall we say, allow pretty seamlessly, as if they were almost like tethered by a rope, would then swing outside further to better guard that left side. So I enjoyed watching how those two kind of traded off spots a bit as they matriculated the ball up the field. Roby was getting really high and put a couple nice balls in there. And then maybe you're the one who pointed out to me, Devin, because I was so worried about watching just the outside backs that it took me a while to even pick up that Griffin was planted in the middle of that back line.
He played there at least once last year. I think it was against Oakland. He played center back for a little bit, but
that's not the same as we're going to put you there for 60 minutes or whatever in a preseason game.
Yeah, I hope that that's not like I hope it's just a preseason thing, because honestly, I'm annoyed when they put Griffin at like that holding mid position. He's good at it, but I prefer him. Like, I feel like he was at his best last year when he was a little higher up and like more of an attacking mid. But yeah, who knows? It's hard to read into the preseason games with what's actually going to happen.
I mean, look at the midfield as it was constructed there. I mean, you're getting all your big guns out there of Kenny, and Mertz was out there. We talk about Mertz here in a little bit. I'm blanking on the airport's name right now, but it was getting
Jackson Walty was playing Walty. The defensive mid. He looked pretty good there.
I looked to me a little bit better than pretty good. That might be a fun thing to watch happen. So there was a lot to be excited about. Also, the as of now unsigned third keeper Parada played the first 60 minutes. He's mm-hmm. a talkative dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even more than we've seen that out of a lot of our keepers, he a lot of gloved hand clapping, gesturing, and then yelling. Ariana, what are your takeaways from him, and anything else that you picked up on the game?
I feel like I don't know if I've ever not noticed this, but Jamali wasn't that vocal, I think, as a keeper. So it did kind of throw me off, but I also like how, you know, he sees the field a different way than, you know, when you're in the moment, you know, a defender or whatnot. So him being able to see across the field, you know, kind of in the back there, I think is great. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm just confused, I guess, to say the best. He's not signed yet. He is commanding some sort of presence and respect on the field. So whether that's just because he's a seasoned player or because he's been practicing with them so much that there's just that, you know, mesh. But it gets into, you know, our discussion, you know, offline of, you know, international spots. Who, you know, are we going to sign a third keeper? Do we take an international spot for a third keeper? Because he is international. Presumably he doesn't have his green card. I'm not entirely sure. But
anyone from the club that happens to listen to this, just send us over a note of who is or is not taking an international spot.
Yeah, I won't appreciate it. I won't say anything. It's just, I just need to know. I'm curious. I need to know what to expect. So I don't, yeah, I liked seeing that. My biggest surprise with the game was the player that I was bad-mouthing last pod, I thought was gone or was going to be gone. He, in fact, is not. And came back in and played a little bit more, a couple more minutes this game. And I'm still not sold on him. I'm not here to bad-mouth the player itself. I'm not sold on...
Well, let's take that play. I'm assuming we're going to talk about his little run in from behind and his shot on goal.
Yeah.
So it's EJ Johnson. Let's throw the name out there now. He had a one-on-one with the keeper. The Pitts keeper, in my opinion, committed early, went down kind of onto one knee, and it would have made for a fairly simple one tap around him and then tap it, you know, side foot tap to the net for a goal. The run that EJ made to break the back line was really, really, really nice.
Yes.
So he made the hard part look easy, and then I don't know if he just had his head down too much or what. one extra simple touch slots the ball in the net. So the hard part made look easy. The easier part made look bad. That's my takeaway from him. But the run itself was pretty nice.
You know, I'll say this about him. Like, I didn't know much about him before watching this preseason game, but he seemed like he had a lot of energy and was pressing well. And we weren't really seeing a lot of that in the first half from our forwards, so that alone impressed me about him, but he's at least had a lot of energy, so that's nice.
Yeah. So
He didn't mesh well with Junior in the last preseason game. That's where my problem was. It definitely felt like there was poor communication, and I'm not going to blame this wholly on Johnson. I do think that Junior might have had an off game. Either he was just in a weird mood, or he just wasn't. Things weren't connecting for him. He was definitely getting the ire of Bob throughout much of the game, which we saw again today, but less so, or again this weekend, but less so. That is the only thing that worried me, is it felt a little bit like an ego thing. But both, you know, EJ's reaction to, you know, Junior and Bob. So when I was surprised when I saw him on the bench, and then going in ultimately. So especially since I genuinely didn't think he'd make it one more week. But Bob seemed to be paying a little bit more attention. I think you can tell, when Bob doesn't pay attention to the player, he's not, I don't want to say not interested, because he never yells at Kenny, because I feel like he doesn't have to. But when it comes down to the trialists, if he's not paying attention to you, if he's not yelling at you, I would be scared. Because you're probably definitely not doing something right. And he just doesn't want to correct you because he knows he
you're
doesn't
get, see you're getting cut. You. Cut.
Yeah. So the fact that Bob was paying a little bit of attention to him, you know, is a nice sign. I don't know how many slots in general we have open for the bench or for the roster, so I don't see him being a signee, but it was good to see at least him play a little bit better than he was playing against WVU. He played more in WVU. He only played 20 minutes, the last 20 minutes of this game.
You have to think, if any of these guys make it to, if you're listening to this on the first today, when they play in Louisville, any of those guys that make it to that game, you got to think that they're all but signed.
It feels like that the keeper, Perotti, he seems all but signed. Like, I feel like he wouldn't have played the first half in that last
getting 60 preseason minutes. Game. Or whatever it was, yeah.
We have a guy who is signed, and I don't think he's played much in the preseason.
It's got to be an injury thing if he's not seen any minutes, which might also be part of the reason why they've kept the Gabrielle around as long as they have, because uncertainty of what the backup position looks like at the moment. Who knows?
I think I'm going to pull it up because I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to go back on it. I think they've all played minutes.
While you're doing that, I will put my hand up, and after a couple weeks of somewhat bad-mouthing Robbie Mertz for his ineptitude in the corner kick department, free kick department, he served up a couple nice ones this past week.
Mm.
Made me look like an idiot. One was a corner kick from the keeper's right, attacking left, corner kick spot quadrant, if you will, and served up nicely, and high man to the ball being Hogan, a little redirecting him for the goal. But outside that, he had a couple other ones that were landing in nice spots. So that was, to me, a very positive thing, because I thought, on the whole, our corner kicks weren't great last year. It helped when you had Ordonez and his meaty forehead to get on the back of a couple there in that stretch when Chico was out. helped a lot. But out there, I mean, there was stretches of last season where the free kicking corner kick department just didn't get done. So I found that to be a positive. Devin, let's maybe talk about the last piece of this preseason game. Since been announced as a signee, Keziah Sterling. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so as far as in the preseason game, he came in, I believe, at the start of the second half. He had a decent amount of speed, and he was setting up some good balls, including the what would be the first goal. It basically took the ball down to the line, sent it into the box. I think it kind of like bounced off of Kizza a bit and then ended up rolling out to Mertz. He was wide open, just put in the net, but essentially set up that goal. And really, it seemed like a noticeable change when he came in. And I'm sure Bob kind of let the team have it too at halftime. But yeah, so that, I mean, that's very promising in itself. But I think he played, what, like 25, 30 minutes? And then they subbed him out for Johnson.
Yeah, about 20, but, 25 minutes, something along those lines. Yeah. But apparently his first day of training was when the day of the jersey reveal on that Wednesday. So he had a couple days of training. So work his way into it. I think you're kind of understanding his setup on that goal. Yes, but I mean, he made a couple of them look stupid.
Yeah. He got him by pretty easy. Yeah.
No respect, you know, disrespect to any of the lovers of the University of Pittsburgh here, but
eat shit.
Whew. He he did a number on a couple of them right there, and then he put it in such a nice spot on the cross that we'll call it a pass, not necessarily a cross, but. He just put it right where it needed to be. It was amazing in how unspectacular it had to look. It just got it done without it having to be that too, without having it be that flashy. Despite he was wearing pink boots.
Mm-hmm.
Bold choice on a cold Pittsburgh day.
I like his boots.
Are those possibly his Tormenta boots? Because don't they have pink in their logo?
They do have pink in the logo. Mm-hmm. It's like a dark, like a navyish blue with pink accents.
Sure.
I gotta say that I alluded to this on the Twitter machine, talking to Bob pre AGM. He was up in the club level, and in very Bob like fashion, without asking him a question, he could go easily 25 minutes asking and answering his own questions in our conversation. And the one question I did get to ask is, how was he able to land Keziah? Kind of on the backs of losing some of the other guys, and Hound's not necessarily a team that gets the opportunity to sign one of the bigger available names. And the smile that came across Bob's face when asked to speak about how they landed Sterling, I have not seen that man smile like that in quite a while, and I mean, my man was happy.
Yeah.
Long story short, good timing and good relationship with agents was kind of the condensed version of how that happened.
Yeah, it seemed like we'd been courting him for a while, or at least Bob had.
And a bunch of other teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he said, you know, they felt the loss of Chico, and then, but he knew exactly who he wanted to go to. And so when it just serendipitously worked out that his agent reached out.
Sterling was looking outside of the USL ecosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And when things didn't really materialize, Bob got the first call, or at least one of the first calls about the availability being there. And pounce.
Makes me wonder what other players Bob has, you know, in his pockets, essentially. Like, he's been hiding this with, because, I mean, not hiding it, but, like, he's had this relationship with Keziah For how long? You know, who else is Bob? Well,
it may not necessarily be the player. It's
the agents. Then
you know, Bob's Rolodex of player agents has to be pretty extensive.
Yeah, I'm excited. So I also had a great interaction with him at the kit reveal. So seems like a nice guy.
Welcome to Pittsburgh. I know it's a little too cold for him right now, but we'll get him there.
Casually too cold. He said he landed when it was snowing, and they don't get snow in England, so he was like, what did I sign myself up for?
It's also not South Georgia at this point either, so
also true.
Devin, any final thoughts on the preseason match?
I mean I was a little worried in that first half, but overall feeling pretty good about where they're at. I mean, again, even if they would have lost to Pitt, I really wouldn't be super concerned anyway. It's still just preseason, so all good.
And one of the individuals that I would have penciled in as a starter, Pierre Kiyet, still not with the team, which isn't great, but if he is what we think he could be, adding that piece into the back line will be pretty nice as well. Maybe what Danny was doing, who's just playing the role of Pierre Kiyet.
It, it's also understood that we won't have Kazaya for the first couple of games still finish working out his visa
paperwork issues. Bureaucracy.
Yeah, they're going to send him on a vacation outside of the United States, though.
Good stuff. Not too much other news in the USL world in the last week, except for we finally got confirmation that the rest of the national broadcast schedule is sticking with ESPN and ESPN Plus for the streaming. And we figure out when some of the national broadcast proper games are taking place. And the Hounds have 4 games on traditional TV, shall we say. They are Wednesday the 19th, so the one home Wednesday game of the year against Louisville. It'll be on the CBS Sports Network. That goes from a 7 o'clock kickoff, turns into a 7:30 kickoff. The next month, July 20th, still at home. It's going to be on ESPN2, so now we're getting some serious random showings on bars across the country that just have TVs on ESPN2. That is against Hartford, so that's an 8 o'clock start, which means an extra hour of tailgating, most importantly. And then 2 games on the road, both the next month there in August on the 3rd. That 10 p.m. game at Sacramento will also be on ESPN2, so late night Hounds on ESPN2. A couple days later, the 7th, so the away Wednesday game of the year, which is at Detroit, 7 p.m., will be on CBS Sports Network. Devin, some opportunities to put some eyeballs on the Hounds and on Highmark Stadium. Kind of fun?
Yeah, definitely. 4 is definitely more than I expected. I mean, the overall was 35 throughout League One and the championship. That's more than I expected as well. But yeah, I mean the. I think the numbers they were talking about in the upper 7 figures. So, I mean, that's great for the league. I'm sure the Hounds are seeing a good chunk of that money as well. But yeah, excited about it. I don't know if we mentioned it. I feel like this was that Watts and Kerr back on as the announcers.
Yes. We're keeping our Kerr and Watts team as they're kind of the national face for ESPN or USL broadcast.
But yeah, excited about it. I think it's good for the league, good for the Hounds.
Yeah, my thing is interesting too. In the press release, it said, you know, kind of alluded to, it's a high 7-figure media rights deal, which would be a massive jump from what it was before. And then there was some no one really knows how that pot gets split up. Is it between all the teams equally, between teams based on how often they're on TV? Some thought out there that maybe there's part of it gets split between the teams and the rest might turn into basically like a prize pool type thing. So no one really knows for sure. But if that money were to get split amongst the teams equally, I mean, you're looking at a six-figure cut, which, at least to me, if you told me even 6 years ago that the Hounds would in some way be getting a six-digit check for TV rights, I would have laughed. So, good on them, good on the league. May start to make a little bank on this whole thing. Ariana, what are your, I won't say hot takes because it just went poorly last time. What are your thoughts? Hounds on ESPN2.
I'm excited. I think that it'll be good for, you know, us to build at least like a bigger than Pittsburgh base. Just to have, you know, the faces and names out there. And I think that it's great for like USL soccer in general, not just, you know, for the Riverhounds, but for all the teams that are going to be on, you know, ESPN or CBS. There's one game on CBS, and then CBS Sports Network. To have, especially when you have such a want for more soccer in America, I think we need to jump on that, you know, as a league, jump on that bandwagon. But to have games on networks that, like you said, ESPN2 might just be up on a, you know, the fifth screen in some bar, you know, it could get eyeballs on it from across, you know, the region and different locations. So I think that that's really, really nice. So and I like that we'll have access, like the USL will be on TVs where maybe like MLS isn't, because they're behind a paywall. So
yes, that's the other big part of this for sure.
Yeah, like I mean, even just one CBS game on, what is that, Saturday, April 6th, Louisville and Indy 11, that alone, not being behind a paywall, being on the CBS right before March Madness, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the Final Four, I think it is.
So
yeah, that's just a hell of a, you know, it's a hell of a spot that they landed there.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not us, you know. I would love it to be the Riverhounds, but just to have eyeballs on, and like Louisville and Indy are in the East, so even if you're like looking into watching more Louisville or Indy games, you see the Riverhounds, you know, name pop up there. So
it's the oldest derby in American soccer. Damn it.
We would have been cooler. We have a prettier stadium.
The Louisville Indianapolis proximity
regional,
yeah, whatever they call it. I mean, it's pretty well done. They need to lean into that history on the broadcast.
That's just, I mean, you have to think that. I mean, when I watch, you know, football or something, I'll just throw on the TV, turn it on whenever I can, no matter what's on before, you know, the Steelers game or whatnot, and I just watch whatever's on there. So you have to think that there are people who will watch March Madness, who will just turn on the TV, even if it's not at the start of the game, but like they know the game, you know, March Madness starts at 6 and they're going to throw it on at 5:30. You're watching the end of
the last half hour
USL game. Yeah, that's wild. So maybe maybe you get more people, you get more eyeballs, you get more voices. So you just start to spread. And I love the concept of that. Even, you know, ESPN2, there's, you know, you got to think there's different things on. I'm pretty sure ESPN2 is a channel you can watch like on an airplane. So someone like myself, when, you know, Yost and I were stuck on an airplane for 6 hours, I just threw on ESPN because that's just all I could throw on to like distract myself after the, you know, Women's World Cup was off. So you have to think maybe someone just throws up ESPN2 when they're on a plane and they watch the river hounds from thousands of feet in the air. So I don't know, I like to, I think that this is going to be really good for the USL, for one, really good for any team that features. And the fact that we feature four times, which is, there's only one team, I think, that has five.
Yeah.
Five games. I want to say it's...
That's fine. It might be Louisville.
I'm not going to guess, but... But, like, we have a lot, like, our name is going to be out there. So I'm really looking forward to the, you know, what comes of this. And I think that it's great. And I don't know who decided who gets what watch, you know, what games. And the games they picked for us, I think, are really great. As, like,
I don't
Hounds
know.
Fans are going to be really.
That heart. ESPN2, we're playing fucking Hartford.
Okay.
That's kind of
Hartford.
Lame.
Well, Hartford has former players. Player one, Mr. 1000, is in Hartford. It was a riveting game last year when we played at Hartford. It was not great for us. My stomach hurt the entire time. You know, last half of the game. The final score was what, 4-3. We were up pretty significantly, and yeah, so I think that that's will be an interesting
all,
one.
All
I mean,
things that were not coming into consideration when they chose this game.
Facts, but like that'll be a fun one. You know, us and Louisville, that's a big rivalry. The only other one I wish we would have is us and Birmingham. I feel like that would be a fun one.
Yeah, that'd be a fun
put
one
on TV. But Sacramento, you know, we always joke that it's the Hounds of the West. So even if that wasn't in consideration, that was just a perfect game to pick, in my opinion. And then obviously Pittsburgh and Detroit. So
the only shame is it's the game in Detroit, not the game here.
Facts, yeah.
And it's going to feel bad because it's a Wednesday, so it's going to be low away attendance. And
yeah.
Damn it.
I mean, yeah. We're going to have... We have a Wednesday game as well, but like I think Louisville travels well. I'm going to put an asterisk on that and say I know it is a Wednesday, and Louisville might not travel as well as they usually do, but I think Louisville travels well. Plus, where are the TVs are for us, you can't really see the crowd anyway. So, like, you can see us, and you can see the Riverwalk, and, like, behind the net, which is usually, like, on the opposing side of us, which is usually also packed, no matter what. It, you know, the grandstand looks like, so you get a fantastic view, you get the train, and great soccer. I don't see why all of the games in Pittsburgh aren't.
So to reel this back in a little bit here, another thing, and I did not pick up on this, but someone else had, and I don't know the dates of this. Some of these CBS Sports Network and some of the, just let's call them the family of CBS games that they've picked up, they're double-heading the USL with an NWSL game, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a fan of one, you might be sticking around to watch the second. So I think that's a pretty smart play on CBS's plan, and it probably is a mutual benefit for the two leagues of getting a little, maybe not cross-promotion, but one as a lead into the other. So that's kind of fun as a fan of American soccer overall, unlike Don Garber, I'll appreciate that. We're going to save that conversation for later, though. We're going to wait till they actually formally announce that they're pissing on the Open Cup before we have that conversation. Guys, anything else for tonight? We're really going to do this under an hour, aren't we?
You just might.
No, we do have one more. I want to circle it back to our kit reveal by saying that after seeing other teams release their kits, we by far have the best so far this year of new kits, that is. And I mainly want to call out Indy 11's atrocious take on their kits. Thank you, Jeff Gardner and the front office, for not going that route. I think the Indy kits are just, they're just bad. I know they like their checkers, and the blue kits have the checkers on the sleeves, but the red kit just has a really non-symmetric checkered pattern throughout the kit that's not super obvious. It's real subtle, but I just don't like it. And then the big Ford logo right smack dab in the middle, it's way too big. So everything
while we're
that
talking
I,
about is that, while we're talking about the indie kit,
yeah,
they have the old USL logo on the sleeve there. Is that what I just pulled it back up and I just caught that.
Oh no,
really?
I saved the picture,
Yeah, it looks like the old USL logo, unless I'm looking at like an old kit. But is that what that is?
I have to get another angle on it. I think so.
This makes for compelling audio right now.
Why would they not put the championship logo on there? I don't know. That's just odd to me. But
which one do they? Now I'm confused at which one it's supposed to be.
Oh, I see this picture you're looking at. What? Okay.
That's the old USL logo. It's the logo from a couple years ago. It just seems very strange, but
okay.
This might require some investigation then.
Ours don't have the USL logos yet.
We have the championship logo on there, right? I mean, I'd imagine. We used to, at least. I haven't looked.
Well, not yet.
They still have to be attached to it, sounded like.
Got it. Okay.
It's just the USL with the star, right?
Yeah, like the old blue USL logo with the white outline.
Like, that's not the font that they're currently using, is it?
No.
I didn't think it was. Whatever.
Oh, but it's an ugly kit overall, but that's just kind of like...
That makes me giggle. I just can't. I can't with the big logo in the middle. And so good for you, Jeff, for getting our kit sponsors to, one, be okay with just a plain color of their logo. Like the HN is just plain white and the 84 Lumber is just plain yellow. So I appreciate that. And two, not it being that obnoxious of a size in the middle of the chest.
It also looks, that Ford logo looks like it's like iron pressed on. And in my experience with when you have a huge section like that, that's the iron press, they get kind of, I don't know, it kind of beats the crap out of that second section of the shirt when they go through the wash a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but
we've
discussed Indy 11's kits way too much on this right now.
Yeah,
we could go on.
I mean, I'm thankful that we don't have Adidas anymore. I'm thankful that we don't have Under Armour. I am grateful for Charlie's kits. I washed mine. They washed really well. I did not dry them because I'm still afraid to dry them. But and Capelli, who just released, who was it?
Loudon.
We're also nice. So I think we've gotten the upper hand here with Charlie. The Charlie Oakland Roots kits were also pretty sick.
Okay,
they leaned into their logo.
I'm gonna lodge a complaint here. Did you see that Oakland released a soccer ball with Charlie?
No.
That it's that mosaic patchwork design that they have in the logo and in the shirt. It's all over the soccer ball. I kind of like it.
Oh, it's loud.
It's loud. Where is the Charlie co-branded Riverhounds ball?
Absolutely.
Reminds me of the old like 2010 World Cup design.
Oh, that's a good shout.
Yeah, it's nice.
All right. Is there anything else we want to talk about visually that we're trying to describe? Audio.
Didn't think of that.
This has been a hell of a 15 minutes here.
Just go look it up, folks.
Devin, final thoughts.
They're great.
I got nothing.
you ready for your first hot takes episode next week?
Oh yeah.
Toes.
The toes will be hot next week. As soon as we get the confirmation.
I learned on Discord that hot toes apparently is not a common statement. This was weeks ago. I've been using hot toes in day-to-day out of soccer conversations, and now I know why I get weird looks.
Because that's not a thing outside.
Do not. Whoops.
Yeah.
That'll be exciting. If we do get it where we're planning on getting, it'll be nice because it's a nice location. So I don't want to say it in case it falls through. But. Yeah,
just waiting for a response. So we'll find out. Well, that was fun. Next week, the hot takes episode. I guess we're going to have to do our first proper episode lean into the season opener just over a week from now. Guys, the season's basically here. It's kind of nuts. Yeah. This time next week, we're going to be basically less than 48 hours away from kicking the ball for real, so... Good shit. We'd like to thank the Beautiful Game Network for providing the online hosting of Houndsy. Check out the wealth of soccer content being produced weekly at bgn.fm. The Houndsy theme music was composed and performed by Rocket Man and the Space Babies. Check them out at facebook.com/spacebabiesPGH. The show is produced by Joe Madurek. Email the show at pghstillarmy@gmail.com and put podcast in the subject line. All complaints about the show can be sent to nick.noble@mail.wvyield.edu. On behalf of Devin and Ariana, I'm Dan Yost. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back again soon.